In our little passage this morning, chapter 2, from verses 12 to 16, Paul's going to make a point, and he's going to have something to say about this judgment and the law. And we've not looked at the concept of the law in Romans up until this point, and we will. But before we can begin this morning, we need to do a little survey. And it will require a show of hands. So this is kind of like a vote. Well, it's not voting, but here's the question for you adults. How many of us have ever been stopped for a traffic violation? Please raise your hand. Oh, if this were one against 100, I'd be doing good. Put them down now. Boy, thank you for your honesty. And the cameras aren't rolling or anything. Now, for those of you who remain, how many of us have ever had a traffic violation for which we didn't get stopped? Okay. That takes care of all the adults. Now for the children. See, you're all guilty, right? For you children, how many of you have ever done something for which your parents caught you for doing something wrong? Would you raise your hands? Several honest children. Okay. Then for the rest, how many of you have ever done something wrong for which you did not get caught? Okay. Some more. Okay. So, yeah. And let the record show that Skip Werner was in all four categories. So you see, this is the point that Paul will make here in Romans chapter 2, from verses 12 to 16. And we've just divided it into four little sections here. Verse 12 is his main point. And he says here in verse 12, well, let's read the whole section. It's a short section here. Romans 2:12. All who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law, and all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law, since they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them. This will take place on the day when God will judge men's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares. So the first point would be that Paul's going to make an exclamation, or he's making a point. He's making a statement in verse 12 that those who sin without the law perish without the law, or those who sin apart from the law will perish apart from the law. In this context, law refers to the law of the Jews, the Mosaic law. He says those that don't have it, those who are outside of that, when they sin without the Jewish law, they'll perish according to the law of man, which is outside the law of the Jews. So apart from the law is a reference to the Gentiles, those who do not have the Mosaic law. Now this word perish, some could argue about its meaning, but if we were to take a serious study of Scripture and all the ways that this word is used in all the places, the word's talking about death. It's talking about destruction. It's talking about ruin. And in no place in Scripture is there any suggestion that it's talking about annihilation, just in case that's a problem or a concern for anyone. We could go into that in depth, but we understand that it's talking about destruction and ruin as opposed to non-existence. 1 Timothy 5 says in reference to the widow that she who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. So we're talking about separation from God. We're talking about dead in a spiritual way. In the same way that we would see Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, it says that we were dead in our sins. And before men and women, boys and girls received Jesus Christ, that's the condition of every person. Dead in our sins. But we're made alive in Christ. So those who sin without the Mosaic law will be judged according to the human law. And as we just took a little survey, which experience doesn't prove truth, but sometimes it fits, that we're all guilty of breaking even man's law. Then secondly, in this verse, Paul says, not only those who are without the law will perish under the law, but those who sin with the Mosaic law will also be judged by that same law, judged or condemned. Those within the law are condemned by the law. This law will always find us guilty. You see, in Romans chapter 1, 18 to 32, we were looking at the gross sinner, and we spent some time, three or four sermons on that. But now in chapter 2, we're talking about the respectable sinner. Well, that's most of us, right? I mean, as I look across this congregation, what a good-looking bunch of people you are. And I know most of you, and I know you're good people. I know you're good people. But do you and I understand our position before God without having put on Jesus Christ? We're condemned. We're guilty. The law will always find us guilty. James said that if you keep the whole law and you fail on one point, you'll be guilty of breaking the law. So there's bound to be somebody thinking, well, what about the one who hasn't heard? Right? This actually came up in Sunday school this morning. And Pastor John said that I would deal with it. Because he knew I would, or he knew I was going to. So what about those who have never heard the gospel? I think sometimes that's what we call a smoke screen, that if we're trying to share our faith with somebody and we say, you know, it's the bottom line is, what did you do with Jesus? Then somebody will say, well, what about? What about a person who never heard about Jesus? And, you know, sometimes our tendency is to want to bring that back. Well, you have heard about Jesus, so what are you going to do about it? And that needs to be done in a loving way. But the person who never hears the gospel, the Bible teaches that there is one way. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life, no man comes unto the Father but by me, he meant it. There is an implication in that for us, that if we have a concern about people over there that haven't heard the gospel, and we should be, that we need to be doing something about that. And I'm sure you're aware that, you know, our church, the leaders of our church, and all of the people that have been involved and part of our church are pretty much of one mindset about we want to be missions oriented. We want everyone to hear the gospel. And that becomes even more personal when we say, well, what about me? If God wanted to send me somewhere, would I go? And I'm pleased and excited for our congregation as you go through the back doors and you go into the hallway there. You see not only our missionary board where we've sent others, but then kind of an auxiliary area out there where we've listed a number of people who have been willing to go. And we have a team of some 19 people preparing to go in January, February. But what about you? What about me? Would I have any desire to go even across the road? Say nothing about halfway around the world. I mean, that's what EE is about preparing us. If we're willing in our heart, preparing us to go, be it a family member, be it someone who lives nearby, be it someone we work with or go to school with. If we have it in here, it will go out. So the exclamation, if you will, is that if a person is outside the law, they will perish because of their sin. If a person is inside the law, having the Mosaic law, same thing, they'll perish because of the law. So when we get to Romans 3:23, we'll have gone over this a number of times in a number of angles, in a number of ways, and Paul summarizes when he says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that was all of us included. So then he goes on to his explanation, not only the exclamation, but in verse 13, his exclamation, verse 13, for or because, it is not those who hear the law that are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law will be declared righteous. So it's a hearing versus obeying. And we always, we think of James 1:22 in the King James. It says, be not hearers of the word only, and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. So we're always being challenged to, well, don't just hear it. Do what it says. Now, will that make someone right before God? I love the word if, don't you? If. If anyone ever obeyed the law completely, well, nobody ever did except Jesus. So it's a non-question. It's a non-issue. James 2:10 says, for whoever keeps the whole law, as we mentioned a few minutes ago, yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. So who among us is without sin? It's a lifestyle choice. People outside of Jesus Christ choose a life of sin. And that's a stumbling block many times when people are introduced to Jesus Christ, introduced to the gospel, because what's uppermost in their mind is, what am I going to have to give up? What am I going to have to stop doing? And as Pastor John said in Sunday school many, many times, the answer is, not today. Not today. What that means is that, you know, I understand. I get it. I know what you're saying. But not today. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 3, all who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of law. We ought to get it that it's just impossible to do. So why would, as opposed to the gross sinner who says, well, God doesn't exist and there's no need to get into a right relationship with him, but the quote-unquote respectable sinner oftentimes tries to continue to strive at being good enough, to strive at doing enough good work. when he knows he can't do it. As we'll see in a minute, there are several things that testify against him. He knows he can't do it. The respectable sinner makes an effort to follow the law in order to become right with God. The saved person obeys the law because he is right with God. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my command. So then Paul moves on from the exclamation and the explanation to an illustration. Some people who have diligently looked into these things have put parentheses around verses 14 and 15 to suggest this is a parenthetical statement. I like big words. I have to practice to be able to say them. But. So verses 14 and 15 is Paul's illustration, and he's basically saying that those without the law can become a law unto themselves. Now, some of you have really, really upright, upstanding, very well-behaved neighbors who don't give two hoots about God. This is who he's talking about. Verse 14, indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. Since they show that the requirements of the law that they don't have, of the law, are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them. So here's his illustration. People outside of Christ, people who maybe never been to church, never heard the gospel message, can demonstrate obedience to a point. But there's three little things here that hinder them from being perfect. And here Paul uses the term their hearts. And basically that's a picture of, you can see their heart from their behavior. You remember when Jesus said that all of these things flow out of their heart. Turn over with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 15. Paul's saying here is that what's in their hearts flows out and becomes their behavior, and this testifies against them. Matthew 15, beginning in verse 15. Jesus had just given them perhaps what might be the shortest parable in the Bible, in verse 14, speaking about being misled by religious leaders. Verse 14, he said, leave them, they are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit. Now, there's his parable. You know, if we had two blind men here and we wanted to send them over to your country store and, you know, okay, here you go. You blind man number one, you lead blind man number two over to your country store. They're going to end up in the ditch before they get to Don's. Right? So that was the parable. And then Peter, here you go again, explained the parable to us. Verse 15. Now 16. Are you still so dull? Jesus asked them. Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean, but eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean. And that came from the previous discussion. Jesus' point here was that our behavior is a demonstration of what's in our heart. And even people who don't have the law, even people who don't know God or even know about him, can have behavior that shows that they have something in their heart that tells them the difference between right and wrong. Not only that, back in verse 14 and 15 here, not only their hearts, which demonstrates their behavior, or their behavior demonstrates their heart, but also their consciences. It says their consciences also bearing witness. Even people who do not have the knowledge of the Bible know the difference between right and wrong because God has created them with a conscience. And we go back to Romans 1:18-20 to see that. That moral beings know the difference between right and wrong. The Holy Spirit works upon our conscience. In Romans 9, verse 1, Paul, in speaking about his desire for the Jews to come to salvation, verse 1 of chapter 9, I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience affirms it or confirms it in the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit who lives in a believer works upon his conscience. And we know that our conscience could be weak. If we could go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and quite a lengthy discussion there in three different verses where it talks about our weak conscience. We know from 1 Timothy 4:2 that our conscience might become seared, and that's a problem even for believers whose conscience becomes seared, and then they're not sensitive to what the Spirit's trying to do within them, and they just keep on sinning. They need to be brought back. But then thirdly, not only their hearts and their consciences, but in this verse 15 as well, Paul says, and their thoughts, now accusing, now even condemning them. So his illustration continues from their hearts, their consciences, their thoughts. Psalm 10 says, in his arrogance, the wicked man hunts down the weak who are caught in the schemes he devises. He boasts of the cravings of his heart. He blesses the greedy and reviles the Lord. In his pride, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts, there is no room for God. Proverbs 15:26, the Lord detests the thoughts of the wicked, but those of the pure are pleasing to him. See, our thoughts can accuse us. See, who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man within him? I mean, we know each other. We know each other pretty well. But we can never really know exactly another person and their thoughts. So here's his illustration. He said, those who sin apart from the law, perish apart from the law. Those who sin with the law will be judged by the law. In the end, they'll all be found guilty, his illustration. And he closes up with verse 16, the completion. When will this happen? Verse 16, this will take place on the day when God will judge men's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares. There will be a day of judgment. We saw in Romans chapter 1, 18 to 32, that the wrath of God is being revealed because God is giving them over. So that's current. God's wrath is being revealed. But here in this passage, we see that, and other passages too, we see that God's wrath will be revealed down the road. The day of judgment. Ecclesiastes 12:14, for God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether good or evil. God will do this. I mean, how many other promises has he made in the Old Testament and we've seen fulfilled? He'll fulfill every last one of them. Then in Matthew chapter 25, turn there with me and we'll be nearly done. Matthew 25, beginning with verse 31, Paul says, here's what it's going to look like when he does this. 25:31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Paul says that every respectable sinner who has not become a born-again Christian by obedience to the call of the gospel will perish on that day. Every person who has trusted in being good enough will find out that day that he was wrong. Every person who has relied on obeying the law or following the rules, whether man's law or God's law, will not enter the kingdom of heaven. The sheep will be the ones who heard his voice and followed him. They're the ones who understood that they could not keep the law. They're the ones who recognized their sinfulness. They're the ones who trusted in Jesus Christ and received his righteousness. They're the ones who will stand in the day of judgment because they judged themselves rightly when they heard the good news of the gospel. You know, what we think of as bad news, the judgment of all mankind, is really the good news. But there will be scoffers. 2 Peter chapter 3 says, first of all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. So people will have that attitude. But Peter goes on, do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow, as some think of slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but come to repentance. And we saw that back in the previous verses, 1 through 4. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. The earth and everything in it will be laid bare. So what's the bottom line? You say, Pastor, just give us the bottom line. It must be 12 o'clock. People who think they can be right before God by keeping some form of man's law will fail. People who think they can be right before God by keeping his law will fail. Anyone who thinks that they can be right before God by their good behavior doesn't understand the gospel. It's about the gospel. If you have unclear thinking about this matter, please contact me or any elder, any Christian, any person. Talk about it. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you so much for your continuous blessing as we open your word. Lord, as we think about the wrath of God in these chapters 1 and 2 and 3, and there was a time in our lives, if we have not received Jesus Christ, that the wrath of God was a frightful thing, and it should be. But if we have come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, we're thankful that there is bad news so we can understand the good news. Father, thank you for your spirit that quickens our hearts and enlivens your word so that it could be understood. Thank you for leading so many of us to an understanding of our great, great need in receiving Jesus as our Savior. Lord, if there be even one among us today who's never understood, never been willing, never came to a place in their lives where they asked Jesus to save them from their sin, I pray that you'd bless this person today by showing yourself, your truth to them and helping them make this commitment. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.